Here we go again. And then I'm going to leave Mr. Dr. Boyd alone. By sacrificing himself for us, a similar sentence, and then we'll jump. God ascribes unsurpassable worth to people who in and of themselves have little apparent worth. In doing this, God reveals his nature, which is eternal, unsurpassable love. Which is why when you read about God's love in the Bible, it says it's a love that passes knowledge. Why? Because it doesn't make sense. It's a senseless, ridiculous thing that God should love a sinner such as I. Stop trying to come up with reasons why he loves you. And then when you get saved, reasons why he should continue to love you. Honey, you were worthless before you were saved, and you're completely worthless after you're saved. Your only value is Christ in you, the hope of glory, as Paul said in the Colossian epistle. And I'll show you, if we ever get to it, maybe next week, that is only accomplished by the work of the Holy Spirit in our hearts. I love the stuff. And so he says in 1 John 4:16, don't turn there. And we have known, past tense, and believed, past tense, the love that God has for us. A very interesting sentence follows this. God is love, and I'm reading from the New King James. And he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. This is not a call to straighten up your life. This is a reminder that this is a kingdom of love. And there are two types of religious people. Those doing their best to prove they're religious and impressing one another. By the way, the kissing cousin is criticism. Critical people have got something to prove and something to hide.
Yes.
And you make a wonderful victim. That's the one class. Patting themselves on their backs for the love they have for God and what it has cost them and what they have done and what they have done. God, you must love me a lot today. And those same people, by the way, on a bad day, understand that God is not impressed with them. God does not like them. God does not smile upon them. But by tomorrow, when this is all worked out, he'll be smiling and happy again. That is neurotic Christianity, and it's a blend of Moses' law, Christ's grace, and a monster emerges that none of us like to know. And we've all bumped into them, and churches are filled with such misinformed people. The other crowd are sinners who are saved by grace, past tense, are now saints standing in grace, present tense, with the love of God in their hearts, and guess what? They're exploiting it.
Amen.
The day I woke up, having read this thing enough times, how many times must a man read a thing before he sees it? Having read it all my life, realizing Romans 5:8, in the middle of my worst trials and troubles, Romans 1-8 tells us, if you want to maintain your hope, get in concert with the love that is shed abroad in your heart. What do you mean, love is shed abroad in my heart? That's outrageous if you think about it. And I thought it was my love seeing me through this rough time, you know. My best attempt was getting me ahead. He says, if you want to come out of this thing with hope and unashamed, then you're going to have to recognize the love of God shed abroad in your heart, because if you don't do that, something along the way will rob you of your hope and of your life, and you'll give up, and that problem will bury you. And I've been through enough to write several books on, etc., etc. But when you go to bed and you say, now I'm going to look for the love of God that's been shed abroad in my heart, that means the Holy Spirit in us is actively manifesting love in us to show us the love of God in that situation, to show us the love of God in that fear, to show us the love of God in that anxiety, to show us the love of God in this closed door, to show the love of God in this thing. And I start saying, you know, I'm looking for the wrong thing. I'm looking for keys to the door. And what I should be looking for is the love of God while I wait for the door to open. One will wear you out, Mr. Religious Person, the other will give you peace. Yeah. My peace I leave with you, not as the world gives, give unto you. Don't you dare let your heart be troubled, either be afraid.
Yeah.
Why, Lord? Must I go crazy? No, because you know something they don't.
Yeah.
You've believed the love I had for you when my son died. Now that love is in you. Now start allowing that love to manifest. In John 17, 26, before I get into the message, and I've got a few more minutes. And I've declared to them your name, and will declare it, or in other words, I will continue to declare it, repeating it, that the love with which you loved me, now that's Father's love for Son. Now may I remind you, just a chapter ago, he just finished saying that the Father loves you as much as he loves me. A frightening verse. I couldn't believe that scripture for a while. It had to be a mistake. How could Father love me as much as he loves the Son of God? Plain English words, he says it. So he says, building on the Father loves you as much as he loves me. And I'm the third person of the Trinity of the Godhead, buddy. He says, now, my prayer is that that love will be in you. Now, of course, 1 John 4:13 tells us how. He says, by this we know that we abide in God, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. In other words, we know we're for real. We're not just religious crackpots. Because we've got a Spirit inside us. A Holy Spirit. And the fact of the matter is, as Paul said in the Galatian epistle, we didn't do a thing to get that Holy Spirit. He said, you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Yeah. That settled that. We did nothing to get this Holy Spirit. Who is God? Who is love? Who is in our hearts? Jesus Christ's prayer is answered. That your love may be in them and that I may be in them. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is the one who implements both. He brings the love of God into us and he is Christ in us. He manifests the Son. He's like, I came to glorify the Son. Anyone who tries to glorify the Holy Spirit missed the whole boat, because we aren't supposed to glorify the Holy Spirit. We're supposed to glorify the Son. And the Holy Spirit helps us to do it. Okay, so we're not crazy. We're just mad. All right.